Steve Kissing had a normal childhood, growing up in a working-class neighborhood in Cincinnati, Ohio. He played sports, he goofed off in class, he thought girls were icky. Typical American kid. Except for one little thing. Satan. Kissing's the author of a book called Running from the Devil, a memoir of a boy possessed. He told Ann Strangechamps about the first time Satan paid him a visit.
Well, the first one goes back to fifth grade, which would have been about 1974, and it was the end of a school day, or near the end, and I was in social studies, doing what I would have been doing usually, which is in part trying to pay attention to the teacher and in part trying to distract my classmates. And out of the blue, Satan arrived. And I lost touch with reality. Everything that I was seeing took on a different meaning. And I could actually feel my brain, which is such an unusual thing, because we're not accustomed, of course, to feeling our brain, but I felt mine that day, and it felt as if it were turning to concrete. And my head tingled some. And I didn't hear voices per se, but something similar, kind of a garbled sort of sound. And it just freaked me out. And when I came back around to reality, which was but just a handful of seconds later, though it felt much, much longer, I was quite frightened.
Why didn't you tell anybody? I mean, why didn't you raise your hand and say, help?
For several reasons. One is that I couldn't find the words to describe just what was happening to me. It was one of the hardest things about writing the book was finding the words now as an adult to explain those eerie and troublesome hallucinations. And in addition to that, and perhaps even more importantly, it was fear. It was fear that if I were to step forward and acknowledge these things were happening to me, it would be sure evidence that I was not being a good boy, and I would have to come forward and admit all my wrongdoing and perhaps be sent away for treatment and who knows what else in some dark dungeon of a room.
You said Satan arrived, but is that really what you thought from the very first moment?
Well, the first few episodes, I was unsure. However, when I had one shortly thereafter in church, I was then convinced that something this unsettling, this bizarre, this scary, and something that could penetrate what I had seen as the force field around St. William's Church, where I went to school and attended Mass, it could be nothing but the work of a demon of Satan. And yes, at that point, I believed it heart and soul.
Were there satanic overtones to your hallucinations? I mean, were you seeing devil figures or pointed spears or, I don't know, pits of flame?
No, nothing that would kind of scream Satan in that sense. It was the fear and the chaos of it which struck my heart and my mind as the work of the devil.
So what did you do then?
Well, I set out on a path to purify myself and to strengthen myself through several ways, mind, body, and spirit. So I worked hard at school to get good grades, A's and B's, and to strengthen my body, I turned to long-distance running, like a man possessed, no pun intended. By seventh grade, it wasn't uncommon for me to run as many as 50 miles in a week, and I thought that that would strengthen me, help me fight off these attacks, and in a way also please God by virtue of keeping my bodily temple in great shape. And then also for my soul, for the spiritual aspect of my life, I did any number of things that I thought then as a child would help protect me. So I became an altar boy, for instance. I later became very involved in my parish youth group, and I even conducted my own silly little exorcisms at home.
Wait, you did exorcisms on yourself? How?
Yeah, that was strange. Any time I had an opportunity, which meant no one else could be home, my parents and siblings had to be gone. I had to be left alone, because if anyone were to witness this, it would mean bad things for me. So I would shut the drapes, and I would get the family Bible and a crucifix. I had a little bottle of was a grape juice bottle that had later been filled with holy water that was given to me by a nun, as well as a votive candle that I stole from church. And so I would arrange all of these very neatly on the dining room table, and I'd cross myself any number of times, dozens of times, and I'd say Hail Marys and Our Fathers and Glory Bees, and I'd have a rosary draped around me, and I'd genuflect a few times. And this would all build up toward sort of the high point of the exorcism, which was to take a piece of Wonder Bread and hold it over the votive candle flame in an attempt to purify it and give it demon fighting powers. And then I would eat that little bit of bread or communion, if you will, and then quickly put everything away before either a family member or a friend stopped by, and go about my life feeling at least a little stronger, a little better about things.
It must have been awful then when you had another hallucination.
Yes, and inevitably that would happen just within days or a few weeks later. Yet another one would come and remind me that I had to do yet more good works, say more prayers, and resist temptation, which seemed to be following me at every turn.
And where was God in the middle of all this? You know, while you were fighting this huge battle to preserve your soul from Satan, what was God doing?
God was cheering me on. God was motivating me through my prayers and my altar boy service and such. So I felt that he was on my side, though there were times when I suppose I did feel a bit left alone or abandoned. When I was growing up, there was a lot of talk about guardian angels. And my grandparents would often talk about their guardian angels and wonderful things that had happened in their lives, many of them silly little things, but which they attributed to their guardian angels. And it left me wondering exactly where mine was, if he was still in training or had somehow gone to the dark side himself or what. But I couldn't seem to connect with my guardian angel.
So how long did all this go on?
I managed to keep the secret for roughly 6 years, fifth grade through my sophomore year in high school.
That's incredible.
It is. It weirds me out when I think about it and amazes me that I was able to keep quiet so long. I think to a certain extent it speaks to the tyranny of these secrets that we keep, and also to the power of secrets. And once that train has left the station, the longer you keep that secret or hide something, the harder it becomes to come clean, if you will.
So after 6 years of keeping this huge secret under wraps, finally everything was exposed. What happened?
Yes, I had been such a good boy that I earned a trip to this leadership conference in Columbus, Ohio, and this conference was coming to an end with a Sunday brunch. And shortly after dessert was placed in front of me, the sensation came upon me again, and I knew I was going to have another visit. And I had grown quite good at being able to manage that situation in public, and so I just assumed it would come and go as the others had. But it didn't. And I end up coming to in the back of an ambulance as I was being taken to Children's Hospital in that city, and had come to realize that I had a full-grown grand mal seizure. And through a series of tests and some doctors and such involved, came to realize that I had been dealing with, in essence, a seizure disorder.
So instead of being possessed by the devil, you were epileptic.
Mm-hmm. Though it was a hard thing for me to accept, at least initially. As strange as it sounds, I think there was some disappointment in it, and that, you know, here I had imagined myself in this great battle between dark and light and good and evil, and it turned out to be something other than I had thought. And so there was some disappointment in that, and I suppose in part connected to a sense of embarrassment that I had actually allowed myself to think this and to believe it for so long, and to not have stepped forward and asked for help or talked to someone.
We've been laughing about it, and, you know, it is a funny story, but it must have felt really scary to you at the time.
Yes, there were moments of considerable fear and tears involved, too, and some cursing at my higher power, which only made me feel worse after I had done that on a few occasions. Yeah, it was certainly tough at times, but overpowered, I guess, by the joys of youth and the beauty and the majesty of the faith as well. So kept me plugging along.
Steve Kissing's the author of the book called Running from the Devil, a memoir of a boy possessed. And Strange Champs talked with him. Kissing took medication for his seizure disorder for years, but then the seizures ended as mysteriously as they arrived. He is still a practicing Catholic.